Chodesh Tov. The Zohar Kodesh refers to the 613 mitzvahs as 613 pieces of advice. It's called Taryag Itin De'oraita, the 613 Eitzos of the Torah. The Sforim tell us that the Tachlis of Chochmah, the main objective and goal of all knowledge, has to be direction, to know what to do. If I'm studying any kind of chachma, if I'm studying biology, again, just to be aware that there are these parts in the body, big deal. What does that do? If that study teaches me how the body works in a way that I'll know what helps the body, what hurts the body, what can extend my life, what can shorten my life, what could make my life better or worse, the main purpose of all knowledge is to get to the Eitzah. And the term Eitzah means hadrocha, guidance, or halacha, the term halacha. We know that in a certain study of Torah, we know that the final goal is to know what the halacha is. The word halacha means law, and the word halacha is miloshen halicha, to know which way do I go. The study of Torah is about getting clear advice and guidance from Hashem and from his tzaddikim. One of the outstanding Breslovers of the previous generation, a great-grandson of Rabbeinu Zal, of Rabbi Nachman, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and an inspiring speaker. People were very, very inspired and motivated, those that heard him speak. In fact, he was one of the main people that lit the fire under Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter, who was one of the great Talmud Chachamim in Poland, who succeeded in being Mekarev hundreds of Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbonim, very learned people, to Chassidus, and especially to the teachings of Rabbeinu Zal. One of the people that inspired him very much was Reb Shimshon Barsky, who was a great-grandson of Rabbeinu Zal, who lived in Uman, and spoke often to groups of people. And at one point, he decided to write a sefer. Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, told his closest student, Rabbi Nosson Zal, that I want you to take all of my shiurim and I want you to extract from them the practical advice in each shiur. Tachlis, lemaisa. What should a person do after he learns this chapter in Likutei Moran? What is he supposed to do and what shouldn't he do? And Rabbi Nosson Zal comprised a sefer called Likutei Eitzos, a gathering of advice, going through the entire Likutei Moran, all the shiurim of Rabbi Nachman, and selecting and extracting practical advice that was found in each shiur of Rabbeinu Zal, because Rabbeinu Zal said, that's what I'm interested in more than everything else. The drush is beautiful, the chidushim are very nice, but the most important thing that I want from anybody who's going to study my Torah is that the person should come out with clear knowledge of what to do. What that person should do to help themselves come close to Hashem, and to help a person succeed in every facet of life. So Rav Nosson Zal composed a Likutei Eitzos, which is in topic order. It goes by topic. The topic of Emuna, the topic of Emes, the topic of Begodim, clothing, a whole variety of topics, and everything that Rabbeinu Zal said on that topic. He comprised another sefer called Kitzur Likutei Moran, which is the same concept, but it's in the order of shiurim. For each shiur, going in shiur number one of Likutei Moran, shiur number two, chapter one, chapter two, by chapter, selecting the advice, the practical advice that's in each shiur. So we have these two formats. We have the Kitzur Likutei Moran, going in the order of shiurim. We have Likutei Eitzos, which is sorted by topic. But the Likutei Eitzos, in a sense, is a little bit dry, that it gives you the practical advice, but it doesn't explain it much, it doesn't elaborate on it, it leaves out all the frills, no frills. You're getting a much shortened, easier version, but you're getting it without almost any explanation. And this rabbi, Rabbi Shimshon Barsky, felt that what's needed most, the practical advice, but they need a little bit of clarification, explanation, made easier than in the Likutei Moran. in order for people to really get the full impact of the advice, the guidance that Rabbi Nizal gives. So he chose to write this sefer in Yiddish, which was the popular language at that time where they were in Ukraine, Polish Ukraine, to make it as easy as possible for the common folk, for regular people to be able to have access to this, to have access to the teachings of Rabbi Nachman, the most important teachings, the practical advice. Just as Rabbi Nizal, when he told his 13 stories, which were the highest level of Torah that he revealed, he wanted it specifically written, published in Yiddish, to make it accessible to simple folk and to women, and for them to have access to this, to be able to study it and benefit from it, to read it and benefit from it. So he wrote Eitzos HaMevuorois, advice explained, clarified, originally in Yiddish, 70 years ago, 100 years ago when it was written. And in recent years, because of the fact that the majority of Klal Yisrael is not necessarily knowledgeable in Yiddish today, with the how things have changed post-Holocaust and everything, that even the Ashkenazic Jews, the majority of them, have moved away from Yiddish, English speakers or Hebrew speakers coming to Eretz Yisrael. So the Sefer was taken and translated into Hebrew, into Lashon Kodesh, as Eitzos HaMevuorois. And I believe that this might be an excellent venue for us to really get incredible benefit from the teachings of Rabbi Nizal. In the introduction to the Sefer, he begins by saying that as it's become clear in recent days that the generation have become far from the path of Yiddishkeit that our forefathers led, which he says is a path of Torah and Emunah, combination of the study of Torah complemented by serious, clear faith in Hashem, in Tzaddikim, in everything that's holy. And he says the reason for this, there are two basic reasons for this. One is the suffering that the Jewish nation has gone through, beating after beating, pogroms, exiles, inquisitions, all the different suffering that the Jewish people have experienced. And number two, the fact that many Jews have moved away from the study of Torah. We know that in the previous century in Europe, there was a small percentage of people that qualified to study in the major yeshivas. The majority of the people were not accepted and were not part of it, were not involved, and therefore moved away from the study of Torah and the fulfillment of its mitzvahs. And here Reb Shimshon puts tremendous emphasis on this, that we know that even in the religious world and in the Torah world, there's tremendous emphasis on the study of Torah, learning Torah, which is obviously important, but more important and most important is fulfilling the Torah. There's a famous quote in the Gemara where the Gemara says, Borasi Yetzer Hara, Hashem says, I created the evil inclination, Borasi Torah Tavlin. I created an antidote to the Yetzirah, which is the Torah. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what that's referring to is fulfillment of the Torah. By observing the Torah, by fulfilling its mitzvahs, that's the antidote. And we find the Gemara itself says this. The Gemara says there's a pasuk, Seichel Toiv L'chol Oisehem. True, good, healthy knowledge to those who fulfill it, Oisehem. And the Gemara says, L'loimdehem Loinemar. It doesn't say that the Torah gives Seichel Tov to those who study it. It says Seichel Tov L'chol Oisehem, to those who do it, to those who do Yiddishkeit. We're talking about Kiyum HaTorah. And Reb Shimshon says that what the most important thing that has caused Jews to become distant from fulfilling the Torah is the lack of the study of Sifrei Musar, the lack of emphasis and de-emphasis of Sifrei Musar, whereby even in elite yeshivas, the best yeshivas, the study of Musar is limited to 15 minutes or 30 minutes out of the day. We could be learning 18 hours a day, and the study of Musar, which means the study of Yirah Shamayim, respect and love for Hashem, that's limited to 15 minutes or 30 minutes maximum. There's a famous story of a wealthy businessman who came to one of the great rabbis, and he said to him, Rebbe, I have a very important, difficult question for you. I have 30 minutes a day that I can devote to Torah without causing harm to my family, to the thousands of people that depend on me. Rebbe, could you tell me, please, what's really the most important thing that I should be using those 30 minutes for? Is it Chumash, the foundation of Yiddishkeit? This Chumash, the Parshas HaShavua? Is it Halacha, the laws? Is it listed a couple of things? The rabbi listened very patiently and then shook his head after all the suggestions that this person made. And he said, no, it's Sifrei Musar. This person looked at him. This person was obviously of an intellectual nature and living in the fast lane. At the Sifrei Musar? I thought that's for people who don't know how to learn. Those people who can't make it an authentic Judaism so that they learn Musar. The rabbi said, no. If you have 30 minutes a day, you should be devoting those 30 minutes to Sifrei Musar. Because one of the first things that it's going to do for you is it's going to open your mind. It's going to make you realize that you have more than 30 minutes a day to devote to Torah, to devote to your neshama, to your future, to your real future, to what happens when you hit the grave. Now, he says, so a person would say, okay, so those people who aren't succeeding, who aren't doing so well in their Yiddishkeit, they need these Sfarim to get motivated, to be motivated, to be inspired, to warm them up to Hashem. He goes on to say that even giants in Torah, if they will be willing to put aside their false self-respect, their kavod hamedume, he calls it, their make-believe kavod, that they put on a pretense as if they're the greatest, the top, and some of them actually believe this, that they are the top people in Klal Yisrael, despite the fact that they know that they find it extremely difficult to daven Shmon Esrei with kavana, or to say any part of tefillah with kavana, or to love most of the Jewish people. They find it difficult to have Ahavas Yisrael. They look at people, and this one's a schlepper, and this one's no goodnik, and this one, everyone is so far beneath them and below them and unworthy. He says, these people, if they will be willing to put aside their kavod hameduma, their false kavod and their make-believe kavod, and they will look with sincerity at these Eitzos, at this Likutei Eitzos, they will also be able to receive incredible healing, true medications, to assist their weak souls, the weak souls of these great Loim Dei Torah. Because he says these Eitzos, and especially the explanations that he gives for them, are based on the Likutei Halachos of Rav Nosson Zal, which he says is full of incredible spiritual medicines that have the ability to heal and cure any problem, any spiritual problem that a person has whatsoever. But again, he says, if the person is really looking for a cure to heal themselves, to improve, if the person is willing to admit and recognize that they have weaknesses, that despite all their learning and all their knowledge, their neshama is weak. And when it comes to fulfilling the Torah, they have many problems. So he says, therefore, even gedolim, great people who are very knowledgeable in Torah, if they'll study these Eitzos and the explanations to them with honesty and with sincerity, this will give them new life, new ruchnius, and they'll be inspired to respect Hashem and to observe His mitzvahs, which is the purpose of man. As part of this sefer is included some letters that this rabbi, Reb Shimshon, wrote to his son and others. And we know that letters, the Gemara tells us, ano nafshi ksovis yehovis, that when a Jew writes something of importance, their soul is in their writing. Especially a person writes a personal letter to somebody, sometimes that gives you a look inside of the person, the one that's writing, that you can't get from a sefer that they've written, from Torah that, you know, Chidushei Torah that they've said. The personal letter gives you a whole deeper insight, a whole personal connection to the person. One of the things that's mentioned is that when we talk about coming close to Hashem, the Baal Shem Tov says, Zeh Hashar Lashem. This is the entranceway to Hashem, the gateway that leads to Hashem. What is the entranceway? Tzadikim. That's the shar, that's the entranceway. Through them, through tzadikim, yovo yuvoi. A person can come close to Hashem. Because the Gemara tells us, because Hashem, we can't see. We don't see Hashem. The Gemara says a person should emulate the ways of Hashem. We're told that Hashem visits the sick. When Avraham Avinu had his bris milah, on the third day after the bris, Hashem... But we know that you can't compare seeing something. When a person watches a tzaddik in action, the Gemara says, tzaddikim mizdamnen leyoitzram, that tzaddikim emulate Hashem. They copy the ways of Hashem. They are a live presentation of how Hashem operates in every way. And here he emphasizes that how do we define coming close to a tzaddik? This term that's used, hiskarvus to tzaddikim, the definition of that is knowing, learning his das, receiving the das of the tzaddik, his understanding of Hashem, his understanding of life. And in fact, Rabbeinu Zal tells us in Likutei Moran, chapter 255, that as great as emunah is, faith, believing, blind faith, is very important, very special. The Torah tells us that when the Jews came out of Egypt, when they were at Kriyas Yamsuf, when the heavens opened up, and they were able to see Hashem, a child at that time saw Hashem more clearly than the prophet Yechezkel, and it says, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'amoy shavdoi. They came to the top. They got to the top of the mountain. What was the top of the mountain? They believed in Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu Zal writes that with emunah alone, without das, it's possible for a person to fall. We see what happened right after Kriyas Yamsuf. Egel Azov, golden calf. Person would say, how could it be? They had such faith in everything. The answer is they had not yet received the Torah. They didn't have the das yet. You need this combination of emunah and das. If a person has both of those, then they have a fighting chance, a good chance to succeed. The das that we're talking about here is the ability to receive advice and guidance from the tzaddik, which will give a person the ability to stand strong and firm and not to get pushed away, not to get knocked off his horse by the different changes. How do people become distant from Hashem? How do people fall in their Yiddishkeit? He mentions two things. One is shinuyim, changes. We don't even realize it. Now, as the Torah tells us that the world is in a constant state of change. Uvetuvoi mechadesh b'chol yom tomid ma'asei bereishis. If a person's staying in a constant place, person's driving a car and they're on a highway and it's straight going for 100 miles, it's relatively easy to maintain the speed and go. When suddenly it's going up and down and turns and everything, it becomes a whole different adventure, a whole different ballgame. So he mentions the shinuyim because of all the changes that all of us are constantly going through. That's one of the things that makes it difficult for a person to be steadfast in their connection to Hashem and their connection to the Torah. One thing is shinuyim, and the other thing is yisurim, suffering. People go through different problems. pressures and questions that didn't exist before, that weren't. That's one example of change. Then there's other changes. Lo aleinu, a parent passes away. All kind, constant, different suffering, different problems. Person develops a health problem, other kinds of problems. These two things make it difficult and delicate to remain connected to Hashem, to remain connected to the Torah. So therefore, a person needs advice to be given, the advice how to deal with this. How do I deal with these changes? It isn't that simple anymore to just say, hold on to this, keep your eye on in front of you on the road. It's not that simple. What do you mean road? You suddenly come to a place where there is no road and there's no signs and the highway and this, and suddenly there's obstacles. There's snow, there's ice on the road, black ice. What do I do? This is what we're looking for from the tzaddikim, to give us the advice and guidance to enable us to be able to deal properly with all the changes and all the suffering that we endure in life. And he adds that one of the important prerequisites for a person to succeed in this is the person has to have the ability to put their own thinking aside. People have, very often, people have their own feelings, their own ideas that don't necessarily come from Torah or come, in some cases, from their own understanding of Torah. When a person is privileged to come into the company of a true tzaddik, to get the full benefit of that tzaddik's guidance and advice, a person has to have the ability to come with an attitude that I don't know anything. Because when a person comes to a tzaddik and says, listen, Rabbi, I think that this and this is what I should be doing, this is exactly what I want to be doing, it's okay, right? Very often the tzaddik will say, yeah, I guess so. Even though he disagrees 100% with what the person is saying. Because the Torah tells us, according to how you ask a question, that's the answer you're given. Person comes to a rabbi and says, is this kosher? Am I allowed to eat this? The rabbi says, yeah. Person asks, Rabbi, would you eat this? No. You asked me, is it kosher? Yes, it is kosher. Would I eat it? No, because there's 1,000 different standards in kashrus. I cannot tell you that this item is treif, that this item is forbidden. It's not forbidden. But depending on what standard of kashrus you choose to observe, it's a whole different ballgame, a whole different story. There I would tell you that majority of observant Jews would not eat that. What do you mean? But if it's kosher, why wouldn't they eat it? Because of these and these factors. The more a person learns, the more they know that there's a lot of different factors that go into defining whether to eat something or not, whether to drink something or not, etc. Here we're talking about a level of bitul, the ability for a person to really put their own thinking aside. That when you're coming to a tzaddik, I want to hear what he has to say. Not that I want him to hear what I have to say. That I want to sell him or I want to convince him. Because if I want to do that, it's very likely that he'll allow himself to be sold. He'll allow me to do what I want. The Gemara says, "Bederech shodom rotza leilech molichan oso." The path that you want to go on, you'll be led on that path. So if you think you have the direction, if you think you know exactly which way to go, then why are you coming to the tzaddik? Coming to the tzaddik implies that I know that I don't know. I might try to let the tzaddik know where I'm at. Because sometimes in order for a rov to paskin a shiloh or to give direction, a judge can only judge based on what's in front of him, what's presented to him. If he's not presented with all the facts and he gives advice, the advice won't necessarily be accurate because you didn't give him the information. So to give the facts, the information, to be honest, and open oneself up to the tzaddik and tell him what my shortcomings are, what my abilities are, what I can do, what I think I can do, what I think I can't do, that I need to do. But in terms of direction or guidance, that I want to put completely in his hands. In a letter that he writes to his son, Reb Shimshon had a son, Reb Nosson Barsky. He uses an interesting style. He begins a sentence with the words, Beli Teretz, without any excuses. I want you to focus on the good things in your life. the kindness of Hashem that Hashem is doing for you, and to reject completely any depression, any worries. Just get it out of sight. Get it as far away from you as you can. And to ignore the things that you're lacking, the things that you're missing, and even the tests that you're going through. Not to dwell on that at all whatsoever. Because things that people are lacking, everybody's lacking in things. Tests, everybody's going through tests. Even the wealthy people. And those people who don't have the teachings of the tzaddik, when they're going through tests, or when they're lacking something, they don't know how to deal with that. They have no way to address that, to deal with that. But we, who are privileged to benefit from the teachings of the tzaddikim, and from their advice, we have to make sure to fulfill them, especially the advice regarding simcha, regarding forcing ourselves to be happy all the time, and to stay as far away from depression, because this is what a person's Yiddishkeit depends on. Being religious, being connected to Hashem, being connected to Torah and Tzaddikim, depends on one's ability to stay far away from depression, sadness, negativity, and to try to do everything in one's power to stay focused on being happy. And to praise Hashem all the time for the good things going on in my life, and the good things that Hashem has done for me, and to remember what the words of Dovra Melech, Batsor Hirchavtoli, that even when I feel myself in a tight spot, I'm able to search, to look for the Harchava, to see that, Baruch Hashem, at least I don't have that person's problem. I remember a few weeks ago, I experienced suddenly one day a problem in a knee that was hurting, and it started a little bit and got worse within a period of 24, 48 hours, painful, to the point where it was difficult to walk. And I remember being in the street and struggling to walk, and seeing a person in a wheelchair. And suddenly it's a reminder, I'm not in a wheelchair yet. I have the ability to stand. To always put things in perspective, as the Baal Shem Tov teaches us. Bashamayim, when it comes to heavenliness, when it comes to ruchnius, mimal, try to look above you. If there's somebody that's more spiritual, that's more religious, then I want to be like him. I wish I could have that. I wish I could come earlier to shul. I wish I could learn a little bit more. I wish I could give more charity. Val ha'oretz, when it comes to earthliness, gashmius, mitochas, look below you. Always, you can always see somebody who has less than you, or somebody who's in a more difficult predicament than you. And to be able to use that to give you the strength to be able to stay happy, to remain happy, because happy is attached to Hashem, is associated with Hashem. Unhappy is a complete disconnect from Hashem. The Gemara says in Shabbos that the Shekhinah, the Holy Spirit of Hashem, will not associate with a person, cannot come close to a person when the person, chas v'shalom, is depressed. And he says to remember the chapter on Likutei Moran, Azamro l'Elokai biodi, that I sing to Hashem, I'm able to sing to Hashem with the good points that I find in myself, even in myself. That I have the ability, even when I'm not doing a person, you ask a person, how are you doing? I'm not doing that great. That's one answer. Or other people who are always say, could be better. Could be better. How are things? Could be better. And Hashem's response to that is, hey buddy, could be worse too. You don't know that. You forgot about that. To have the ability to know could be worse. And I could be worse. And to be able to remember to see the good points in myself, to be able to see the good things that I've done or that I want to do, and to be able to use that as a springboard to motivate me, to get me to do more good things, to become better and better. And to avoid depression and to avoid negativity or being upset, which is a tremendous pigam, it's a tremendous defect, even if it's because of ruchnius. Even if a person's upset, wow, I didn't learn today. I didn't do this. and he thinks he's being so religious, you know, focusing on that, he doesn't know that that's coming from his Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara wants to use that as an excuse that he's not going to learn tomorrow either. He's going to be upset and angry, and in that negative state of mind, there's no way in the world he's going to be able to learn tomorrow. Instead of making sure to avoid that, keep back 2,000 feet from that. I didn't learn, maybe I can learn now. I didn't learn before, what about now? What about right now? What about tomorrow? Not to let go, to stay positive. And he says, through this attitude, a person can live a peaceful life and a good life, Baruchnius and Begashmius. And Reb Shimshon writes, my whole existence is based on these two things, even with everything that I'm going through. And he says, you do the same, and if you'll fulfill this, you'll always be able to find Hashem's kindness and the harchovas and good points in yourself, etc. In another letter, he writes a very, very interesting, outstanding point. He blesses his son. He says, Hashem should have pity on us and bestow upon us his kindness and his goodness, which we're always in need of. And Hashem should help us be zeichet to true faith and bitachon, trust, which is the real kindness of Hashem. Because through that, through faith in Hashem and trust in Hashem, a person can lead a peaceful, happy life. Because he says the wealth and successes of this world, they are bitter and bitterness to the ones who have them. Those people that study the lives of successful people in this world, we see guys who are committing suicide, guys who are in rehab, Rahman al-Slan, lo aleinu, people who are supposedly wealthy and successful, find out a little bit about the inside story, what's going on in these people's lives very often. Person says, I would never want to be in that person's shoes. I would never want to have the problems that they have, the problems that go with it. Whereas, so again, this is that imaginary wealth, the imaginary success of the materialistic world. Whereas a person who is zeichet to real faith in Hashem and faith in Torah and tzaddikim and bitachon, trust in Hashem, that eliminates the bitterness and the struggles and the suffering of this world. That takes away the majority of the burden, the heaviness that people walk around with. Again, people who have all kinds of wealth, how come they're not really happy? How come they're searching for ways to find happiness? I thought he has happiness. Isn't $30 million in the bank, isn't that happiness? And the answer is we see, reality check, we see it ain't. Talk to these people, live with them a little bit, you'll see it ain't. It doesn't do it. Whereas emuna and bitochon is something which is not limited. It's not limited to a $30 million bank account or to anything. It's something that carries a person, that has the ability to shield a person from the bitterness, the unhappiness, the heaviness of this world. One final incredible point, he writes to his son about his grandson. He writes, I request that you inform me about what's going on with my important grandson, Yisrael. Should be healthy and well. Is he going to cheder to learn? So again, we're talking about a child. Is he going to cheder to learn? Does he know the letters already, the letters of the Aleph Beis? Does he know the vowels? Is his Rebbe teaching him brachas of all types of foods and drinks? And without any excuses, ubali teretz, make sure that you conduct yourself with him nicely, softly, that you speak softly to him regarding everything and anything, not to impose any type of fear, any threats whatsoever regarding anything at all, no matter what, because the mind of a child is weak and delicate and fragile and can be harmed permanently by imposing unnecessary pressure and unnecessary fear, chas v'shalom. Therefore, it is forbidden to impose any kind of fear of anything at all whatsoever, so that chas v'shalom, it won't result in any kind of permanent damage. And he says again, without any excuse, I want you to make sure to tell you tell his Rebbe, his Malamed, who's teaching him, not to exercise any anger whatsoever, not to get angry at my grandson for anything at all whatsoever, and not to impose any kind of fear, whether he's learning Siddur or whether he's teaching him brachas. Everything should be done with a gentleness, with a sweetness, without any anger, so as not to weaken his brain, not to harm his brain. He adds a third time, B'li Teretz, without any excuses, to fulfill everything I've written in this letter. And Hashem should bless you to raise him with all your other children to Torah and Masim Tovim, Mitor Chachovav and Achas Tikdusha. We know that unfortunately, my wife has been working for the past, we're living in Israel 28 years, 27 and a half years, she's working in a pediatrician's office in Yerushalayim. Thousands of kids. She says today, the vast majority of kids are on Ritalin. When you come in, they don't offer you a glass of water. They check to see if Ritalin, more Ritalin, less Ritalin, vanilla Ritalin, chocolate, strawberry, which Ritalin is it for this kid? Most of the kids who are on Ritalin, it's because the parents and the teachers are not on Ritalin. If the parents and teachers were a little calmer, were not living in the fast lane, and had a few minutes to hear their children out, to be able to listen to what a kid has, kid comes home, what did you do in school today? The ones who will ask what you did in school, they'll ask what did you do in school and then turn away to answer the phone, to text, to everything else. Because they're not really interested in it. I don't have any time to hear what the kid did or didn't do or what's going on in his life or anything like that. Because we, unfortunately, are full of kas and roiges, all kinds of tension and nervousness and anger that gets transmitted and passed on to kids. And again, it's a culture that everything is now. Everything has to be now. There's no concept of waiting for anything. Again, no concept of patience. Patience with a kid. That if a kid doesn't know something, what do you mean you don't know? How come you don't know? Why I don't know? Because nobody invested the time to teach it to me. What do you mean? I told it to you. So what? The Torah says, Hocheach tochiach es amisecho afilu me'apomim. The Torah says, if you tell somebody that they're doing something wrong and then they continue to do the wrong thing, that doesn't mean they're a Rasha. That doesn't mean they're bad. That doesn't mean put them in jail. That doesn't mean give them time out or time in. That means maybe explain it to them again. What do you mean explain it to them again? The Gemara tells the story of a rabbi who taught a student 400 times. He had the patience, he had the ability to go over it 400 times, and Hashem rewarded the rabbi. He lived 400 years, and he got one of the highest levels of Gan Eden for it. So the Torah is all about patience and kindness and softness, and the very vast majority of problems that we're seeing in our generation is obviously lack of patience and lack of all of this. We're used to everything, a person pushes the button on the phone and the response doesn't come back in a second. I can't believe it. Time for a new phone. And if he pushes the button on his wife, he asks his wife, like, time for a new wife. What do you mean? I asked it, she didn't give it to me right away. Everything new. This letter, again, the tzaddikim, we say on Rosh Hashanah, atzosoy emuna. The etzah, the advice of the tzaddikim, is all about faith in Hashem, faith in Torah, the Derech HaTorah. And the Derech HaTorah, there's a pasuk, Divrei Chachomim Benachas Nishmoim. Rabbeinu Zal begins the Likutim on with these words, that the words of Chachomim, can only be heard if they're speaking softly and gently. Nachas means softly, Nachas means also slowly, slow down. Kal v'chomer l'tipshim. So people who are not chachamim, and we today, all of us today, are far from fulfilling the definition of chachamim. If for chachamim, the Torah says they have to speak benachas, how much more so we have to be careful not to raise our voices and not to pressure, not to impose pressure, not to be demanding, to be soft, to speak softly and gently. And we hope with the zechus of studying and fulfilling the advice of the true tzaddikim, will be zeicha to lead good, healthy lives, and be zeicha to see the ultimate Yeshua of Klal Yisrael with the coming of Moshiach, the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, b'mehirah v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu. Amen.